Toronto really is a pretty big chunk of real estate.
Yeah, it's incredibly big, and I found that people don't know the city really well. We get in our little Manhattans, and we know, maybe it's 44 kilometers wide, but we know our little kilometer of it, home to work, to the places, the people we visit, and those paths become really well known. But we tend not to look beyond them and understand beyond that Toronto that we know, which is kind of great that you can live in this kind of self-contained part of the city, because that's kind of what we want. We want to be able to be local around. And yet, there are 2.7 million of us now all in the same bucket. And if we don't understand the other parts of it, we might be in for some surprises.
This book is very much a walk through Toronto, various neighborhoods and wards, with every unsuccessful candidate in the last municipal election.
Yeah, there's a perspective I think that underdog candidates can give you that I think all of the candidates that I walked with wanted to win genuinely. Like, they wouldn't give up a year of their life for that. But when you're critiquing power and looking up to it, rather than trying to hold on to it, I think it allows for a lot more freedom in the critique, but also freedom of ideas. And people can be a little bit more, I don't know, experimental or challenging with the ideas that they come up with. The incumbents coming into City Hall do not represent a map to the actual population demographics of the city. It's largely white, it's largely male. People get elected to city council, and that's not who lives in the city. So I thought the candidates that I found were a little more representative. It wasn't, it wasn't a scientific method that I used. And I was also looking for people that these people seem to genuinely love the city and care for it, and yet have a pretty strong critique of it at the same time. And those are the people that I looked for when I chose who I walked with.
There's a notion. Anybody who's lived in Toronto has heard it, that Toronto is just a whole bunch of villages. But you kind of poo-poo that.
I mean, I like it in some respects because, I mean, I live in a village, one of the many villages of Toronto. But I think it doesn't, subscribing to that too much almost becomes an ideology. It doesn't let Toronto grow up. We are a city of 2.7 million people now that the new census has come in. And it's huge, and it is a big city, and it's surrounded by many millions more in the suburbs. But that village mentality kind of manifests itself in so many different ways, in wanting things but not actually wanting to pay for it, big infrastructure projects, but also the almost denial of the urbanity of the way we live, and there's NIMBY, not in my backyard, battles across the city against things like four-story condos in neighborhoods that already have apartment buildings. Yesterday or on Sunday night, kind of walk through Rosedale, then down into the ravines, and walk by a sign, four-story condo coming to Dale Avenue. It's like four-story condo, and I could see mid-century apartment buildings, down the block, and that kind of, like, we are a small town, we are a small village, is quaint and cute and has a kind of is good in one sense, but I think it has become kind of insidious in Toronto and kept us in this perpetual teenagehood.
I'll give you a quote from your book. Toronto is a city still reluctantly coming around to the idea that it is, or can be, one of the great ones. So there is constant resistance to city building talk and a fear of thinking big.
It's a fairly conservative city, Toronto, despite its progressive reputation and some of the multiculturalism and all those other things that the city trades on. I think it's a deeply conservative city that is fearful of change. All cities are people are tend to fear change, but somehow it's almost pathological in the city, in that it has grand, I think, it, and if I may generalize, the kind of spirit of the city. It has aspirations to be a great city, and it likes to kind of, like, it's complex about being a world-class city, which is a cliche now here. Like,
Thankfully, I think you only say it once in the book.
yeah,
Thank you.
And I hope I make fun of it when
Yes,
I
you
finish.
did.
Okay, good. You hear that all the time. Are we a world-class city? Well, if we actually knew, accepted our cityness and kind of were building towards that, and we wouldn't talk of it that way. You don't go to New York or London or LA, and people aren't worried about, world classness. They just are worried about building the city, making it, making it the best it can be.
What were the three things first you would do to get Toronto going?
If I could magically make Toronto both have the ability to raise its own money and the kind of political courage to raise its own money. So it would be self-sufficient in a way that didn't have to go begging to higher levels of government for money all the time. I'd make the transportation system work better. We want to get people out of their cars because it's a horrible thing to drive in Toronto. There's too many people, there's too many cars. We're at that weird, I think of Toronto as being a teenager right now. It's an awkward time. The future is going to be great, but it's also very exciting. So it's in that intermediate phase where we want people out of their cars and to take transit so the roads aren't clogged, but the transit system isn't there at the same time. You know, I think there would generally, maybe this is a spiritual thing, but I like people to love Toronto more, and this sounds like a little wavy gravy, but I think I found over the last 17 years of writing about Toronto and working on various projects is that the city is not deeply in love with itself in a general sense the way other cities are. Like, you will never find anyone run down Toronto as quickly as a Torontonian themselves, right? There's this idea that the rest of Canada hates Toronto, but you don't have to go outside of Toronto to find someone complaining about Toronto in the way that, like, this place is junk. I'm excited by things like Drake. Drake is, in that superstar, extremely flashy way, but just talks about Toronto in this offhanded way.
In that kid's head, Toronto is a great city.
Yeah, totally. And so I think Drake is actually a really great force for that. I think we're seeing, like, younger generation that doesn't have the baggage that the older generations of Torontonians have, that just kind of do kind of love the city and don't doubt it.
The book is Frontier City, Toronto on the Verge of Greatness. I've been speaking with the author, Sean McAuliffe, and Frontier City, published by Signal as an imprint of McLellan & Stewart.